Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show, the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. So wonderful to be with you. I have such an inspiring guest who is joining us today and has a pretty phenomenal story. So I'm looking forward to Adam joining us. But before we get there, perhaps this is the first time that you've tuned into the show. And if you were wondering what it's all about, well, the DL Link is an organization that really does amazing stuff, founded all the way back in 2010 by Michelle Goodman and Jackie Artsiller. And the whole idea behind the DL Link is just creating this nurturing safe space where patients who are faced with cancer and their families can turn to you for support. And, you know, the DL Link just is able to create so much support and comfort in areas that perhaps are neglected when one is on this cancer journey, not only for the warrior, as I said, but for the family as well. And so, you know, they rely on you and they rely on the generosity of all of you, corporates as well, in order to do what they do. And we've been following them very closely with buying a property and now buying the property next door. And they're just turning creating this phenomenal space where you can just go and be looked after and mix with like-minded people, talk about your journey with people who understand it, places for your kids where you can relax, put your feet up, just amazing. So we get to every week have phenomenal people who share their stories and really inspire us to live more fully and more mindfully and to be so much more grateful consciously for what we have. And so our first guest, I think, really embodies that. Adam Forgan is a dad. He has stage 4 cancer. He's run a marathon to raise funds. But overall, he just ignites incredible hope and inspiration and has shared so much, and we're really, really excited to have him on the show. Adam, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Nikki, or good afternoon, Nikki. Thank you for having me.
So what a story. I mean, I've read your story. It was in the Good Things Guy, because we often are able to connect with very special people through the Good Things Guy. And yes, your story is just incredible, Adam. So before we get to how you see life and what your outlook is, let's go to Adam before you were diagnosed with colorectal cancer, because I know that your sister was diagnosed just before you as well, and it was stage 4.
Correct. Well, yeah, she was stage 3 at the onset. Subsequently, she's in stage 4 now.
And how long after that were you diagnosed?
So I was diagnosed about three months later.
Wow.
And that was following a colonoscopy.
And I mean, Adam, for in a family to have a daughter, a sister, and then a son, a brother, within such a short space of time, tell us what it was like, you know, hearing that your sister was diagnosed and then you went from being a person who was, you know, being of great support to now becoming a warrior yourself, going on your own journey.
Look, it was obviously a big shock to us as a family. And it shook a lot of things in all of our lives. But I would say that we were, you know, we're quite an optimistic family, and we, you know, just try to find the best way through it, you know.
And Adam, before that, you've had a construction company. You talk about giving up a lot of your time for your business, and you're aiming for success, as we all are, and perhaps not spending the, you know, waiting one day for things to happen and then you've got more time on your hands. Let's speak to that, because I think there are lots of people who are listening who can understand. We seem to be living this life where we think we have so much time on our hands.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think in life we really don't know when our final hour will arrive. And many of us kind of live as if that final hour is not going to come, which doesn't mean that we're not living a meaningful life or that we're not positively contributing to the world around us. But just imagine if tomorrow morning there was a knock at the door and you opened the door and there was a letter and it said, you know, dear human, tomorrow will be your final hour. Are you ready to board the final train? And I think if you sincerely reflect on that question, you know, are you ready? The answer, which will be different for every single one of us, can profoundly impact the remaining time that we have left in this life. But you have to really, really be still, you know, and allow that conversation within you to blossom and grow. And then you can have, you know, you can set clear intentions and finally have the courage to act. I believe that in the age that we live in, hearing ourselves and hearing our own innate intuition is increasingly difficult. There's so much intellectual noise, so much egocentric noise, which is really not healthy for our spirit that lives in us. We are much more free in stillness and where our consciousness is heightened and our purpose is clearer. So for me, a potentially terminal cancer diagnosis was the knock on my proverbial front door. It was the letter that read, dear Adam, you're reminded that you have a non-returnable train ticket with a final destination, and there may be an earlier than planned departure date. Please be ready. And in the days and weeks that followed my diagnosis, I immediately began to act on what my intuition was telling me. For me, some of these things were to close my construction business I'd spent the better part of a decade building, and to perhaps let go of some of my own egocentric beliefs and ideas, and also start to ask myself how I could be a better husband and father, how I could be a better version of myself, which included how I was contributing to my own personal health. When you're a busy entrepreneur, it's easy to neglect your family and your own health, and it's easy for a decade to pass by without being truly conscious in your existence. So for clarity, I'm not saying that running a construction business was a bad thing, but I think one has to examine their own context. And for me, I was out of balance with myself, and I needed to step back, you know. For my own health, I started to do a series of prolonged water fasts, and I changed my diet to try and eliminate all refined and processed foods. And this alone had an immediate positive effect on my overall health and energy. I've incorporated water-only fasting into the chemotherapy regimes I was put on. And I did this not at the advice of my oncologist, but I decided based on my own intuition and experience with how I'd felt after fasting, and also based on some scientific research which shows promise when combining fasting with chemotherapy, that it was something I just needed to do.
You know, I want to absolutely come back to the water fast. I just think that you've just said some very powerful things, and I don't want them to kind of dissolve into the ether. I really want people to hear what you've said about this. Are you ready? And yep. Making this decision. So you, when it happened to you, you said, you know, you quickly realized you had to make changes. From the moment of diagnosis to, you know, the Adam who would open the door and read the letter, are you ready? To the Adam a few months later or a few weeks later, when you started to sit more quietly with yourself and connect with your intuition. Yep. What would you say transformed within you? What were you, you know, you talk about this busy person before. What happened? Let's slow that down. Maybe we can just unpack that.
You know, I think when one's busy sort of building anything really, you become sort of very focused, and which isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, if you're working on a cure for HIV, you need to focus and you need to be, you know, you need to have that strong focus and determination to get the result. But in my own context, I think it perhaps I went a bit too far in trying to do and achieve things the way I was trying to achieve them. I think, look, in general, construction is a complicated industry to begin with, very complex and lots of dynamics. And I don't think I was managing my own personal stress very well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've done genetic testing through this whole cancer journey, and my sister and I are both an anomaly in terms of genetic testing. They've used every single genetic test that's available at this point, and it hasn't pointed to anything in terms of a cause of our cancer.
Wow.
So one has to then look at, you know, what are the other potential contributors to how we've landed up where we are. And one has to obviously then also look at external factors, you know, stress factors, diet, lifestyle, all of those kind of things. You know, surely they do have an impact on this disease.
You talk about intuition. You talk about what your intuition has told you about being still, being quiet. I mean, that's so powerful, right? I mean, that's where it is. When we are quiet and we still and we drop in, we can connect to this inner wisdom. Had you done that before, or was cancer the catalyst?
No, I'd say I've always been that type of person where I always kind of look for a deeper meaning in every situation in life. You know, from being a small child, I've always had that kind of perspective on things. I've always looked for meaning. And I think that's important for anyone to do, you know, to live a holistic lifestyle and always look for meaning in things that happen around us. You know, I do believe that there is meaning in everything that happens around us, and that it can also guide us in better directions.
Yeah, and it shows you that even with, you know, the person that you are looking for meaning, intuition meaning something to you as well, how easy it is to lose ourselves in the stressors of our everyday life, and how quickly we can forget about that. And so it's such an important reminder, really, Adam, for all of our listeners, because, I mean, you're talking now from experience. So there's so many people who are listening who are going, you know, I have to pay bills, I have to work, I have to do X, Y, and Z, all the normal everyday stuff. And one of them is, there are people out there who are building their own businesses, and you have to be focused if you want to build a business. Otherwise, how are you possibly going to do it? So now months down the line, and we've still got lots to unpack here. But I mean, what would you say, you know, because I mean, you've said you decided, your intuition told you to give up the construction company. Are there people here who there's no way they could possibly do something like that? They have to keep their foot on the accelerator. But you're talking about this intuition, you're talking about your experience. So what's important? What's important for the person who needs to find those moments of quiet and connect with their intuition?
Look, I think one has to evaluate, what is your true definition of success?
Yeah.
And I think that's quite an important subject or point, because, you know, if you're building a business, what is the end goal to it? You know, and if your own well-being and the well-being of your family is not included in that end vision, then you're going to have a problem along the way.
Yeah. So you had quite an epiphany as well. I mean, you went on quite a spiritual journey. You went to the Middle East while you were in the middle of your chemotherapy. So we're going to talk about that. But I mean, it was stage four colorectal cancer that you were diagnosed with. So you had to have surgery. You had chemotherapy. So you were, I mean, this was tough, right? So tell us if you can talk us through that, and at what point you decided, okay, I'm going to go on this journey, the spiritual journey.
So look, I mean, I was diagnosed in January 2023 with stage four colorectal cancer. I had 18 metastases spread throughout my liver. And at the onset, there was no immediate option for any kind of surgery. My only option was chemotherapy. And even after a fairly successful first round of chemotherapy, there was still no option for surgery. I was offered maintenance chemotherapy for as long as that would work, or as long as my body would sustain it. And through that process, I've learned to appreciate and obviously celebrate daily victories rather than eyeing too far ahead. But really important to find gratitude daily. Never push gratitude until tomorrow. But along the way, you know, through this journey, talking with friends and family, and I guess also quite importantly, you know, opening yourself up and talking to others can be can open the door to something, you know, something positive. And it did, you know, for me, talking through to family and friends, I eventually went to get a second opinion at Netcare UCT Critiscare in Cape Town. And, you know, from the very first appointment that I had with them, they sort of became like family to me. And they've really, I feel, pushed the boundaries of my own imagination as far as treatment was going with my case. And they've treated me with a lot of compassion. And where I even, you know, fondly recall one of the anaesthetists prior to my colon surgery putting on some of my favorite music to relax the nerves before putting me out. And this excellent team somehow, you know, through the eye of a needle, they found a possible step in the direction of hope for me for a liver transplant, which isn't a very common remedy for stage 4 colorectal cancer. There's a very, very strict criteria that one has to meet to be in order to qualify for a liver transplant. And it's, you know, for me, I'm still on a journey. I'm certainly not at the end of the journey, but just this little bit of hope that they gave me was a hell of a lot. And I think that was kind of the starting point for the campaign that I started with for CHOC.
Just, you know, you think about this group of people, this team that you're talking about, and what an impact they've made playing music before you go into theater. It's these little things of humanity that we love to hear, because then it inspires us to be that person, right? To be the one, yep, who extends that kindness and thinks of others. So, I mean, Adam, so the surgery, the chemotherapy, and now your liver being, so, I mean, what is the state of your liver at the moment, you know, while you're waiting for this transplant? What's that process been like?
So, basically last year, I was potentially on a liver transplant list, but I had to, there was some regression with a couple of tumors that had grown back. So we went back onto chemotherapy for 6 cycles. And after that, there was a very good result, to the point where the surgeons felt like we should actually attempt trying to resect what was in my liver and try and save my liver. And we did that surgery in November. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there were still a couple of points, spots that have grown back. So we've gone back full circle, and we're now basically going back to the liver transplant as being the best option. And I've started another few rounds of chemotherapy just to sort of try and slow down and keep me within the criteria for the transplant.
How are you responding to the chemo in terms of, I mean, side effects, and how are you coping with that?
You know, side effects with chemotherapy are always difficult. I've always felt like the fasting, you know, I've always done water fasting with my chemo 48 hours before and about a day or so after. So I've never really suffered with major side effects, but you do have nausea, and you sort of, you know, you've got to try and manage those symptoms. And I must say that the oncology team and the nurses that you deal with going through chemotherapy are, you know, they're very compassionate people, and they're very supportive. And, you know, you call them up and you say, this is what I'm battling with. And then they'll recommend, you know, what's going to help you best manage that that side effect. I personally try and get up and walk as quickly as possible after chemo. I don't like to lay around. Even if I'm feeling really, really weak, I try and get up and even walk around the block or just walk down my road. And I find that just immediately by doing that, you sort of lift your energy. And then I just keep trying to build on that each and every day, you know, just keep walk a bit further and then eventually run. And I normally find by the second week after chemo, I'm back and running. So I think it's a good approach, you know, if you're able to.
Do that. I'm busy. It's just amazing. And we're going to talk about the marathon in a moment. But this water fasting, so you, this intuition when you became still and you listened to yourself and what would be best for you, you thought water fast. You then did research and you've seen that there is some link to, is it improving your side effects when you fast? Is it making, based on your research, is it making the chemotherapy more effective? Is it that the body is not spending all this time digesting food and therefore it has more energy for, well, I mean, what is the meaning behind the water fast?
Look, I think, you know, all those points that you mentioned, if one goes into it, I mean, when I got the diagnosis, the first thing I did is started researching. I was going online, I was watching, you know, YouTube clips as probably many people do. And I came across a video from Dr. Eric Berg. He's quite a well-known online sort of talk show host. And there was a guy by the name of Fred Erfurt, a French guy, very, very fit martial arts guy that had developed stage 3 colorectal cancer. And he declined, you know, all kinds of treatments. And he did water fasting, and he managed to sort of, with 3 rounds of chemotherapy and his water fasting, he managed to really bring back his health. Subsequently, unfortunately, he passed away. But I took the sort of seed that he planted in my head that, you know, there was something that I could try at least, you know, to help myself fight what I was dealing with. You know, right in the beginning, I was even contemplating maybe not doing chemotherapy. You know, I was doing extensive water fasting, and even on my follow-up scan, I saw there was a slight improvement, but we couldn't be sure because there was a difference, a discrepancy between the machines that were used. So like, it wasn't a clear-cut thing that it was improving. So I ended up just you know, trusting the process and going with the standard of care that was being provided for me.
And I mean, I suppose as well, Adam, is when you can fast 2 days before you go for chemo and you're fasting after and you're moving, it gives you a sense of control, and it gives you connect with that very strong side of yourself. You know, it takes a lot to just drink water and not eat. And so you are kind of tuning into this great willpower, great inner strength. And I'm sure
absolutely.
You know, attitude, and that takes you such a long way. Adam, we're going to pause for an ad break and then a song. And then after that, I'd really like to speak to those experiences of being in chemotherapy and hearing the children and what that meant and what that galvanized within you.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the show, the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. And also just a reminder that from tomorrow, the show will be podcast. You can find it on the Chai FM website. Just go to Chai FM and go to the podcast section and look for Thursday Life Links, and you'll find the show. We have really a truly inspirational guest today, Adam Forgan. 43-year-old father who comes from Cape Town and who has been sharing his journey, being diagnosed in January 2023 with stage 4 colorectal cancer, and just the mind and, you know, how it's shifted his life completely. So, Adam, just before the break, I said I'd love us to talk about this experience for you when you would go to for chemotherapy and the chemotherapy was right near the children's ward. Perhaps you can just explain what that experience was like.
Nikki, thanks. You know, going into chemo is always challenging, I think. And I think for every family that goes, you know, or goes through it, everybody will have their own story. But I think it's generally pretty grueling for most. And I just found myself, you know, being in the most vulnerable sort of time in my life, sitting there. And then every now and again, you know, you'd hear a kid from the next ward, maybe laughing or sometimes crying. And that always used to move me, you know, being a father myself. It just used to kind of push my emotional barrier. And I, you know, just kind of force me to really look at things and really question, you know, what sort of legacy do I want to leave for my son? And I think that's kind of what drove me to also towards doing the CHOC campaign and the run.
Yeah. So you decided you want to raise funds, you want to make a difference. You decided you wanted to raise 20,000 Rand and that you would run this Otanikwa half marathon. So up until that point, I mean, you spoke about after chemo and then walking and then running. So were you a regular marathon runner before?
No, I wouldn't say a marathon runner. I mean, I've been a runner my whole life, but my sister was more she's done several Comrades marathons, and she's much more, she's got quite a few more accolades where marathons are concerned. But I like to run. I like to run in the wild. You know, I can run down on the beach or wherever I can find a quiet place to run. And I had been running since, you know, after my surgery in November. I was working hard at, you know, rehabilitation, and I was, you know, so for probably the first or second month after the surgery, I was running shorter distances, and then I just kept training and eyeing out the half marathon. I was actually going to do the Two Oceans half, and then my sister said, no, the Otanikwa is a much more beautiful route. So she convinced me to do that one.
What was it like?
It was beautiful. You know, the wilderness, Otanequa, George areas, it's really, really a beautiful part of our country. And it's very kind of hilly and green and very lush. And the run was absolutely beautiful. It was a beautiful day. There was a bit of mist and then a lot of sunshine and a great crowd, a great turnout. And it was, yeah, it was a beautiful run. I really enjoyed it.
So you wanted to raise 20,000, but you landed up raising over 36,000. And this is for Childhood Cancer Foundation South Africa.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, it really, yeah, we were quite overwhelmed with the response. We were over 30,000 in the first couple of days. And, you know, everybody that contributed all gave like really good kind of motivation. And, you know, it's quite amazing when you look at sort of these campaigns and that you see a lot of anonymous donors. And I always find that quite heartwarming that there's people out there that are just giving without looking for any recognition and they're just trying to make a difference. And I think that's quite special to note.
Mm. Yeah, you get to really make contact with the best side of humanity, don't you, through sometimes the darkest times. So absolutely. In terms of your treatment, where were you? I mean, running a half marathon, at what stage of your treatment were you when you ran this?
Yep, so I had completed my first cycle of chemotherapy this year, about a week before the race. You know, a couple of people said, are you sure you should run? And, you know, there's a risk and all of that kind of stuff. I did run it past the oncologist and he didn't seem to think there'll be a problem. And I trusted my own kind of level of fitness and trust that I would just do what I needed to do on the day. You know, if I'd felt completely off, I probably wouldn't have run, but I could feel my energy levels were lifting and I'd already done a couple of shorter runs before that in the week leading up to the race. So yeah, I just went out there and I actually had a really good run. There was no energy drops. I ran a sub 2, which I was happy with considering the chemo. And yeah, no, it was generally, everything went really well.
It's just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, wow. What was the most challenging part of it?
There were a couple of big uphills during the race. And I was trying to get the elevation detail of the race beforehand, and I really battled and I didn't actually have it in the end. So I was running a little bit blindly, not really knowing, you know, when to lay off the gas. So there were two biggish hills and I just told myself I'm going to keep running on these hills no matter what. And I just had those kids in the back of my mind and they kept me going all the way up. And yeah, it was great because the last 3Ks were all downhill, which made it that much easier.
Yeah. Wow. And must have just been an amazing experience. And, you know, for you to do it was, wow, treatment and all of that, just incredible. We briefly spoke about this trip that you went to the Middle East. You had this, it was for, you know, your spiritual side. And
yep.
Do you find, Adam, I mean, you're married and you've got a son and you've reassessed so many things since your diagnosis, and then you go and you have this, whether it's a spiritual awakening or experience or whatever it is, do you find that it's kind of taken you in another direction? Already you're on this, you know, you're on this journey and you have all the support, but this is a solo journey. It is a solo journey. Everyone holds you, but it is. Yeah. How have you found that with your family?
It's been, I think, you know, it's really actually only brought us closer together. It's really kind of just, there's no barriers between us. I found that we all kind of just, if there was any little gripes or, you know, things like that in the past, there's none of that now, you know. And when we see each other, we really just make the most of it. And I do find that we also make more time for each other, which maybe we took for granted before. But now, you know, with what we're going through, we just kind of all make the most of it. Yeah, I think, you know, one's just got to look for hope in wherever you can find it, you know. I think that's the most important thing in this disease. I think for people that are going through cancer, they need a sense of hope. And even if they have a terminal prognosis, you know, still give that person hope, because at the end of the day, that's what every human being actually wants, you know, is hope. Hope for another day, hope for a better day, or, you know, for whatever.
As you say, everyone wants that. You spoke about gratitude as a daily practice, and I wanted to come back to that because a lot of people talk about gratitude. But then you said something very interesting. You said, don't put it off for tomorrow. Because it's, again, it's that same thing that we started talking about. Like, you're focused and you're doing and you'll go, okay, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll get to it tomorrow. Yeah. So like the really important stuff you seem to put on hold, and it's always that striving, striving, striving. I want to go back to the gratitude, because I personally think that it is the most powerful routine thing, exercise, whatever you want to call it, that you can do. So what does it look like for you? What is gratitude look like? What does it sound like? What is it? What kind of practice is it?
You know, for me, it's I think it starts as soon as you open your eyes. You know, if you open your eyes, then you don't want to be looking at a screen or a phone or anything like that. You know, you want to look at whoever's lying next to you, or your children, or that person in the street that always greets you. You want to look at those around you that are in your life, and you kind of just want to always be kind of partially reflecting on how lucky you are to be where you are, and never kind of put that out of your mind, you know. And I think if you can do that, it's easier said than done, but if you can, you know, keep reflecting on how much you have, not what you don't have, or not what you're facing, you know. I mean, I could really go to the bottom of my of myself and kind of look, oh, I've got cancer, I've got this, I might die in a year, I might die 6 months from now, but that's not going to do me any good. It's not going to do anybody around me any good. And ultimately, it's kind of a pointless exercise, you know. So yeah, I think that's, I've painted some kind of picture for you there.
Yeah, you have. Because again, there are people who are going, wow, exactly what you said, you know, with whatever the prognosis, and then you know, and you're waiting for the liver, and all of these things. Yeah. Some people would say, well, what is there to be grateful for? It's so unfair. Why does it happen to you? And it just sounds like, you know, you don't entertain those thoughts at all. And it's not easy, right? Because the mind will produce all sorts of negative thoughts, fearful thoughts that'll come up. But you're saying, and my understanding of what you're saying is that you very consciously, and that's when you talk about being still, as you wake up in the morning, you are consciously choosing to focus on that which you have in the moment. Right. It's the
Absolutely,
moment.
Yep.
It's being grateful for that. Adam, it's so valuable what you've been sharing with us. It's you know, it's not an easy journey, and it just, from what you've shared, it just sounds like you, with such grace such a consciousness, and impacting others and making a difference, that this is your journey. So before we do say goodbye, is there anything that you want to share with our listeners?
There's two things maybe that I can just touch on to end with. And one is, you know, cancer screening. I think that, you know, there's obviously trends as to when people should go and do routine colonoscopies or any kind of health screenings and these kind of things. And I really feel that people need to be quite aware of their own bodies and their own health state, and make the call to go for earlier screenings where you feel, if there's any doubt. Because, you know, I think for myself, if I had maybe screened, 10 years before, there could have been a totally different scenario playing out at this point. And I do think that with the sort of environmental impacts that, you know, our health system, our food that we eat is not the best, you know, and our lifestyles, that cancer is maybe, it's kind of heading towards an earlier age category, you know, it's affecting younger people. Yeah. So I think screening is something that really can make a difference in terms of prevention. And then obviously just understanding in terms of cancer, you know, the metabolic aspects of cancer, there are many metabolic aspects that one can consider, and prevention is really, it is possible. You know, I believe that prevention is possible. Not in every case, obviously there's genetic disposition, but if you really look after your health, I believe you can make your chances of survival from cancer much more greater.
Adam, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. It's really been great to spend this time with you. Thanks for all your insights and your inspirations. And we just wish you good health. And please, God, may you find a liver and continue to make such a positive impact on the world. And it's really been great having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Nikki, thanks so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. And you take care. And to your listeners, all the best.
Thanks, Adam. Take care.
Take care.
Wow. I'm Adam Forgan, and so many insights, and I hope that you've been able to listen and extract as many as possible, whether you are on a journey, you know, with your health, or whether you're just living your everyday life, how can you drop in, take those moments, be still, listen to your intuition, decide what's important and what's not important. Have that gratitude practice. Look around you in the moment. What have you got to be grateful for? You know, these are such important lessons and insights. We're going to take a break, and we also have some clips from some of our cancer warriors. Here we go.
We can only praise Dear Link for the incredible support and help that they gave us in times when we needed them so badly. They are still always there for us, and we bless them with everything good.
Hi, Gabby and DA Link. Just a message from Barbara Garnett to thank you for all your loyal support, especially during my husband's illness with cancer. He did pass away 5 years ago. Your Zoom with Linda on a Tuesday, Avi, is my best. Lots of your Zooms have been amazing. Thanks once again. May you go from strength to strength. Lots of love, Barbara Garnett.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me. I hope that you've enjoyed the show. Remember, if you've missed part of it, you can catch the show on the Hi FM website. And I do look forward to being with you same time next week. So from me, Nikki Seberini, until then, take good care of yourself and goodbye.